In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 7, Paul was going through one of those dark moments. Paul had a struggle. He says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations." And if we had time, we could go back to the beginning of the chapter and see that Paul's kind of coming off of one of those mountaintop experiences. God has just revealed things to him and shown him things that for God to communicate to us as he did with Paul, we'd be walking on cloud nine. I mean, we'd be excited. And Paul says, so that I wasn't exalted above measure, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, now if I ask you to quote this verse with me, most of you could quote it with me. "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." But I wonder how much of us could quote the rest of that verse and the verse that comes after it. "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." That's what these folks were talking about and giving testimony to tonight. Their own weakness and the power of God in them in the time of that weakness. Very quickly, in verses 7 and 8, we see the purpose of the problem. A problem came to Paul. He calls it a thorn in the flesh. He says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." I think it's interesting, and I think it's important that we all understand this. When troubles, trials, difficulties, those hardships, those things that come into our life that we feel oppressive and difficult and that bring pain and anguish into our lives, they come from Satan, and Satan has a very specific purpose for it. But God allows it to come from Satan into our life. Job is a wonderful example of this. The trials of Job came from Satan. They were authored by him. They originated with him. But he couldn't touch him unless God allowed it to happen. Satan has one purpose. Satan wants to buffet Paul. Satan wants to beat him down. Satan wants to discourage him, oppress him, make his life difficult. But God allows those same trials for different purposes. Aren't you glad we serve a God that has higher purposes than Satan? God's purposes was to keep Paul humble and to put Paul in a position so that he could see himself for who he was and he could see God for who he was. Folks, until we are humble in ourselves, we're not going to be effectively used by him. Until we say, "Not me, but thee," we're going to be sitting on a shelf somewhere because we can do nothing without him. And yet we can do all things through him. God allowed this to happen for Paul to keep him humble and to put him in a position where he was poised to be used by God in a way that no one could imagine, not even Paul. When we look at the New Testament scriptures, Paul was the missionary, wasn't he? The one that we look to as being the example of what a missionary is. The one who turned that part of the world on fire for Christ. Why? Because of the thorn. Because the Lord allowed that thorn to accomplish the purpose that he had. And it's important that when difficulties and trials come into our life, it's okay to say, "Okay, Satan is trying to beat me down, but what is God trying to do? What is God trying to accomplish here? What am I supposed to be learning from him? What is he trying to whittle away and take out of me? Or what is he trying to pour into me? What is it that God wants to do? What is the purpose of this problem from God's perspective?" And when we focus on that, then we are prepared. Then we are poised to be used in mighty ways. God's answer to every problem we face is his grace. His amazing grace, unmerited favor. His love and mercy poured out on us. When Paul sought the Lord, he didn't seek Satan to take it away, you notice. He recognized that it came from Satan, but God allowed it. When he sought the Lord three times to take it away, what was God's response? My grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. My love for you is enough. My ability to give to you is enough. My protection for you is enough. Whatever you need, I have it, and it's enough. This morning in Sunday school, I walked away from that lesson is the benefits of believing. Why is it in the difficulties and the trials we don't always feel or sense or experience His grace and His power in our life? Because we're still 80% believers. Or 70% believers. Or 85% believers. We don't really believe that His grace is sufficient. You say, Brother Don, you don't understand what I'm going through. You don't know how big my struggle is. God says it doesn't matter how big. I'm not trying to minimize. God says it. My grace is sufficient. Whatever it is. And if we believe that, then we will experience that. We experience God's saving grace in our life because we believe in Him and what He has told us in His Word, right? Therefore, we believe, if we believe in His living grace, like we believe in His saving grace, we will experience that grace in the same way. The benefit of believing. What was the benefit of believing here for Paul? God's sufficiency, for one thing. Verse 9, he says, my grace is sufficient. Moses, standing in a wilderness with the task of leading God's people out of Egypt, says, Lord, I don't even know who you are. And God says, I am. I always think that's interesting. I am what? Whatever you need. I am as much as you need. I am all that you need. I am. What a testimony of sufficiency. God's miraculous power also in verse 9. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. We won't get into all the Greek because I've already told you, I wasn't that good at it, but I know a little bit. And the word strength here actually points to a miraculous power that God has. His miraculous power. It is a miracle experiencing power. We heard this morning in church that Jesus Christ had miracle power, right? That power not to heal as Jesus did, but the miraculous nature of His power is available to us. My strength is made perfect in weakness. His strength is made perfect or complete in our weakness. Do we need spiritual power in our lives? You better believe it. When you go out canvassing, when you meet that coworker, when you meet that neighbor, whatever the case may be, God's miraculous working power must be upon you to touch that next life. We're not going to win them with reason. If it's not for the Holy Spirit and His power in the situation, it's not going to happen. Sometimes the difficulties are so heavy and we become so oppressed and so discouraged that we don't even look at the opportunities outside of ourselves because we haven't experienced God's miraculous power in our own heart and life. We become so turned in on what it is that we're struggling with. Not to minimize that it hurts, but there's more beyond the hurt. And there's power available to overcome the hurt. Physical strength in times of weakness. Verse 10, he goes on to say, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Now this word strong and the word strength comes from the same root, but they're different. They have different endings and they have different focuses. The first strength is a miraculous power from God. The word strong here is a physical strength within ourselves. Before we can serve Him, we have to have the strength to go out and do it. When we get so focused on the difficulties, we feel weak, don't we? We want to crawl in a bed under the covers somewhere. At least I do. You might be better at it than me. But he gives us that physical strength. And as a side effect of both of these things, we see that he gives the proper attitude that we need to display to the world. What does he say in the last part of verse 9? Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities. I'll tell you, that's not natural. Paul's a little weird. He's a little out there. Is that the way you feel when the troubles come? It's not the way I feel. You know why? Because I'm not experiencing God sufficiently, His miraculous power, or the strength that He can give me when I believe in the sufficiency of His grace. But when I put my trust in His grace, all of these other pieces fall into place. And we can go through the trials with joy. We can be shot in the face with cattle goads and have joy. And the world will see God in ways that it's never seen it before. When the world can see a believer go through the difficulties of life with joy, they know something's different. I believe in a separated, in a different lifestyle for Christians. And so many times when we talk about that, we talk about separating from sin and living different and looking different. But the greatest way that we can look different is to have joy in the midst of trials. The world can't understand that. They understand good people. They all think they're good. But joy in the midst of trials? That's weird. And as weird as it is, they say, why can't I do that? You with me? The last thing. Go back to verse 8. The purpose of the problems, the benefits of believing, and the attempted avoidance. Do you like problems? I hate problems. I hate it. I'm a planner. I like to have things in order. I like to have, when something comes to rock my boat, I start getting, oh, come on now. No. How am I going to, plan B, C? When I get to plan D, I'm at that point, I'm like, oh boy, I'm in trouble now. Right? Some of you might be able to relate to that. We do everything we can to avoid the problems. We kind of see things coming up. Well, I'm going to take this path because I don't want to have to deal with that. That's just too much, right? Paul, three times, our hero of the faith, said, Lord, this is too much. I don't want it. You know what it says? Three times I besought the Lord to take the thorn from me. I dare say, and this is a speculation, but I dare say, Paul would not be the Paul we know if it weren't for the thorn. Because if it weren't for the thorn, he wouldn't have had the power that God gave him. He wouldn't have had the humility. He wouldn't have been in the position. He wouldn't have had God's hand on him the way God put his hand on him. Folks, when we avoid the problems of life, we avoid the power of God. We avoid his blessings. We avoid his presence in our life in special ways. It is in those valleys that he is the closest to us. Paul tried to avoid the problem, and he would have avoided the very path that God wanted to use him to accomplish, to turn the world upside down. I wonder how many of us have avoided God's perfect plan in our life because we've tried to avoid the problems. Take the easy path. We are a culture of comfort, aren't we? Overstuffed furniture and remote controls. I love it. Don't get me wrong. I'm happy. Air conditioning. Whew, praise God for air conditioning. But when those desires for comfort spill over into the way that we live our Christian life and we take the comfortable path rather than the path that God leads us on because it's going to be uncomfortable when we're not willing to step outside of our comfort zone, step out of the box, then we're going to miss God's power. We're not going to experience His grace as He wants to pour it out on us. And we're not going to accomplish what God has for us. And when we get to heaven, Paul said when he got to heaven, he knew that he longed to hear the Father say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I don't want to get to heaven and say, "Don, you did okay, but look at what you could have done because I took the easy path." because I wasn't willing to go through the difficulty in order to have the glory on the other side. I might get to heaven and be more comfortable on the way, but I don't want that sorrow in His presence. Something I need to work on, and I hope it's something that all of us will work on. Not avoiding the problems, the difficulties, the unusual, the uncomfortables, just in order to make life easier. God's grace is sufficient. Would you say that with me? God's grace is sufficient. Let's make it personal. His grace is sufficient for me. Will you say that? His grace is sufficient for me. For each and every one of us, His grace is enough if we believe. If we recognize the purpose of the problem, believe in His grace, and take it head on. Not because of who we are, but because we know He's with us in the midst of the trial. Then, on the other side, God can say, well done. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for who You are and for Your grace, for Your mercy to us. I pray that You would use this time to challenge us, to encourage us, and where You see fit, to convict our hearts. May we see Your grace as a wonderful gift, not just for our salvation, but for our everyday life. And may we be careful to give You the honor and the glory for all that You do in us and through us each and every day. For it's in Your name we pray. Amen.